Well, good morning. How's everybody doing today? This is week two in our James series. It's a five-week series, and each week we're looking at two ideas or two topics from a letter that James wrote to believers in that first century of Christianity that we might glean from to encourage us and to equip us to be more like Jesus Christ. Amen? And James is the stepbrother of Jesus. And growing up, he did not recognize Jesus as Lord, but became a believer after Jesus' resurrection and has ultimate respect for his brother because he knows who his brother is for real, right? And so he writes this letter to encourage Christians who are going through tough times to keep the faith and to make sure that your actions and your words line up. He talks a lot about faith and works and how they should work together in a believer's life. Last week we looked at two ideas or topics of testing and persevering. You know, we don't like to be tested, do we? Right? We love going to school, but we don't love tests. But tests are what show what we know. Tests will show us if we're learning anything and getting better at anything. And it's okay to fail a test if we learn from it, right? Or if we don't do great on a test, we learn from it. And so James is writing this letter. Last week we looked at the first part of chapter 1 about testing and persevering. And I want to say again these two sound bites from last week's message on testing and persevering. He said, whenever you face trials of many kinds, he said, whenever, you're going to face trials. He said, whenever you face trials of many kinds, have a different attitude. How do we normally respond? We freak out. We lose our joy. We don't like life, right? He says, consider something else. Consider it a good thing. What? Yeah. Consider your problem a good thing. Not that it's a good thing, but that it's going to lead to something good. Now that makes sense. Not that it's good, but that it'll produce something good in you, right? And we know from living life, when we look back on our life, some of the tough things we went through actually made us better, made us stronger. We've learned how not to act, hopefully, because we acted the wrong way and it was embarrassing or it was a stumbling block or whatever it is. We learn from our mistakes. We learn from our tests. And so trials are inevitable, but they do serve a good purpose. And then he ended last week with this: blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because, having stood the test, you didn't quit. You didn't give up. You didn't cop a bad attitude. Having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And so the takeaway last week is God will reward us when we stay faithful, even in tough times. It's easy to be faithful when things are going our way. Think about in a marriage situation. It's not so easy to stay faithful when things aren't going our way, is it? Or with money issues, or with anything else in life. And it's real easy to want to quit when the going gets tough. But if you'll stay in it until you win it, James said, you'll be rewarded. This week, I want to look at two other words or two other ideas, and that is listening and doing. What do listening and doing have in common? Or why do those two go together? Who would say you're better at listening than doing? Or doing, you're better at doing than listening, huh? And so James has a message for all of us today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you that it's our plumb line. It's our due north for truth in our life. And I pray that not only would we hear what you have to say for us today, but we would do something with what we hear. And so help us to be doers and not hearers only. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. One night, a guy came home drunk. He had scrapes and bruises all over his face, and he didn't want to wake his wife up and go through all the drama, so he sneaks upstairs, hoping not to wake her up. He goes into the bathroom. He looks in the mirror. He sees all the scars, the scrapes, and the bruises, and he puts Band-Aids on them and then goes to bed. The next morning, he wakes up, and his wife is standing next to the bed looking over him saying, "You got drunk last night, didn't you?" He said, "What are you talking about?" She says, "Well, if you weren't drunk, how did all those Band-Aids end up on the bathroom mirror?" You'll get it in a minute. Today, I have a verse about mirrors. Not necessarily about drunks, but about mirrors. All right, parents, if you're a parent, raise your hand. Okay. You can probably think of a time or two, maybe many, where you told your children to do something and you were quite clear that they heard you say something to them because they gave you a, you know, head nod or a yes ma'am or something like that, but hours later you noticed it didn't get done. And if not your kids, maybe your husbands or your wives. How did that make you feel? It's frustrating, isn't it? Huh? It's annoying to think that you're being ignored, especially when they came to you asking for help, asking for advice. And then you tell them something that's going to be good for them, yet they don't act on it. They were hearers, but they weren't what? Doers. They didn't act on what you told them to do. And therefore, nothing changed. That's the message that James had in this letter that he wrote. And it's still a message relevant for us today because I think most of us can think of a time or two where things didn't go well in our life. We knew what to do. We just didn't do it. And so who would agree that knowing what to do is not enough? You have to put it into action. Jesus shared a parable. Before I get to James, I'm going to share a parable from Matthew chapter 21. I think I forgot to say if you have your Bibles turned to. I normally do that. So we're going to be in James chapter 1. We're going to finish up James chapter 1 today. But I want to read from Matthew 21 real quick before I get there. This is a story that Jesus told about two sons. We call them parables. They were fictional stories to prove a point. They were earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. And he's telling this story to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the religious leaders of his day. And the religious leaders of his day can be like religious leaders today. They're really good at telling you how to do things, yet they don't do them themselves. We have a word for that. It's hypocrite. The Pharisees were very hypocritical. And so Jesus is trying to paint this picture for them to see the truth. In a sense, he's trying to hold up a mirror in front of them so they might see something they don't see themselves. And here's the story he tells. It's called the parable of the two sons. He asked them a question. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons, and he went to the first son and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." And the son said, "I will not." But he later changed his mind and went. And then he turned to the second son and said the same thing. And that son answered, "I will." Yet he never went. Here's the question that Jesus asked them. Which of the two sons did what his father wanted? And they said, "The first one." And he said, "You're correct." He said, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you." What? "For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, yet you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." You see, the Pharisees have the same problem we have, or we have the same problem they had, and that is, We heard God tell us what we needed, what to do, yet we didn't act on it. Some of you have been coming to church for a long time, but maybe you've never put your faith in Christ. He's shown you how, you just haven't acted on it yet. Or maybe you're going through some trial in your life, maybe you're having some marriage issues or some money problems or whatnot, and he's shown you in the past, if you would do this, it would make things better, yet for whatever reason, you're not acting on it. You're a hearer, but not a doer, which is why almost every week, if you notice, when I introduce the message and then I pray, what I pray is, Lord, would you give us ears to hear, but also what? A heart to respond to what we hear, to do something with what we hear. And often I'll quote James. I'll say, let us be doers and not hearers only. Who remembers me saying something like that almost every week? Because here's why. It's a waste of your time and mine if we come to God and he tells us what to do and we don't do it. Nothing changes. We're going to get to that in a minute. The Pharisees were hearers but not doers, and it drove Jesus nuts. When you read a parable, though, for our benefit, normally it's good to ask the question, who am I in this story? So a natural question would be, which son am I more like? Am I more like the son that says, no, but then under conviction realize I probably should and you do it? Or are you the Christian that's grown up in church and is really good at saying, yes, Lord, but you never do? I'm wondering if it could be true for us that some of our ungodly friends will make it to heaven ahead of us because they were faithful in saying yes and amen, even though they didn't live a life that we would justify their salvation. At some point in their life, they did yield their faith to Christ, versus those who grew up in church, looked good on the outside, yet they'd never surrendered their heart to Jesus. I think that's the point that Jesus was trying to make to the Pharisees. Maybe one of the questions you ask yourself when you read this parable is, first of all, am I listening to the Lord? Or am I taking my cues from somebody else? And then secondly, and I would say more importantly, am I doing what I hear him tell me to do? Am I a hearer only, or am I a doer? And then James, that's the focus of his second part of his letter here in chapter 1, verse 19, James 1, 19. He says, brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone, if you're part of everyone, raise your hand. Okay. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now, most of us, we've heard that before. And we go, yeah. That's what it says. But I'm convicted when I read that because many times I'm not quick to listen. I'm not slow to speak. Am I? No. And I'm not always slow to become angry. Sometimes it's easier to become angry because we get the first few mixed up. It's real easy to become angry when we're slow to listen and quick to speak, right? We have a quick temper. And so I could have a whole message. I could do a whole series on those three thoughts. But I'll come back to those three in just a moment. But you might want to write those three down. Here's another. If you're in life groups, that's one of the questions. Which one do you struggle with the most? And that's a good thing. That's an action step. You could go home this week and go, Lord, which one of those do I need to work on? And would you help me work on that this week? Because I want to get better at that so that I'm not so quick to go to the anger issue or blow up or snap back or be impatient. I really want to work on that. And then he goes on, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, deal with it. Therefore, what does he say? Get rid of, take an action step. Get rid of moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent, and humbly accept the word. In other words, humble ourselves. I have found that people that are prideful probably will listen but not do, because they already know better. They don't do. Humble people tend to say, Lord, I'm guilty, and I want to do something about it. They humbly accept the word planted in them, which can save them. But he goes on. Don't just receive the word. Don't just, and I know Tammy wasn't thinking about what she said, but when she introduced me a while ago, she said, Lord, help us to receive everything Bob has to give us today. To which James said, do not merely listen to the message today, G Church, but what? Don't just listen and deceive yourselves. Do, there's the word, there's the verb, do what it says. Don't do what I am telling you. Do what James is telling you through my mouth. Do what the Lord has you to do when you read the passage that we're getting ready to read. He says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and put band-aids on the mirror instead of his face. He gets things messed up. Things don't work out to his benefit. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, we're talking about God's word, and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, say that, doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. That's the point he's trying to make. There's listening and there's doing. There's listening and there's action. There's application. Application is the key. Application makes all the difference. James tells us something phenomenal. He did last week about how to face trials with a new attitude. We either do it or we don't. If we do it, things change. If we don't, nothing changes. This week, he's talking about listening and doing. We either take it and act on it or we don't. He says, you got to do what it says. And most of us, we know what to do. We know. You don't need me to stand up here and tell you to be slow to become angry. You know that's not a good thing. You know, I think about marriage problems. We've all had them. If you've been married for more than a year, you've had marriage problems. Or you're not spending enough time with each other. I heard an interview of a guy. He said, my wife and I have been married 40 years, and we've never gotten in a fight. She lives in California, and I live in New York. I wouldn't say try that, but I mean, now think about marriage issues. What's the problem with every marriage? Our focus is on me, myself, and I. I'm not getting my needs met. You listening? You taking notes? I'm not getting my needs met. Me, self-focused. I'm not happy. I am not happy. I'm not getting my needs met. Me, 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 me. Versus, what if we woke up every day and said, what do you need? Honey, what do you need? What do you need? What do you need? How can I serve you today? It's not about me, it's about you. What if both spouses just had that simple change of focus off of me and onto you? I just wonder how many marriage problems would disappear. And you don't have to come and meet with me and Tammy. You don't have to go pay money for some professional to tell you what you already know. You're just not what? Doing it. Now again, easier said than done, but truth nonetheless. We need to get better at doing what God's word says and not just listen to it and continue down the path we're on. Application is the key. And here he's writing this to people who have been persecuted, that are probably copping a bad attitude, and they're kind of forgetting their Christian witness. They're probably saying things they probably shouldn't be saying. They're doing things or thinking about doing things they probably shouldn't be doing. Like when you watch news today, it's real easy to start thinking things and saying things that we shouldn't as believers. And then James redirects them and points them back to God's word. That's our plumb line. And then he reminds them, though, you got to act on what you hear. Remember HBO, the acronym HBO? HBO, hear, believe, obey. Listen, the H and the B are meaningless without the O. Hearing and believing is not enough. You have to what?
Obey.
Obey. If you don't obey, nothing changes. And James is reminding him of that. You got to act on what you hear. Money problems, same thing. Listen, how many times have you heard me say, put God first in your money? And I would just guess, I'm not going to ask you to reveal your hand, but I'm just guessing at least maybe half or less are doing what God's already told you to do, and they're the ones with fewer problems and the ones who aren't doing what he's already told you to do. God's rule is real simple. Put me first. Give to me first. Manage the 90%. With wisdom, like taking Dave Ramsey's course. That's how you get a budget and manage a budget. Y'all are on the same page together. If you'll do it this way, your financial problems will get better. And you can have financial peace instead of financial chaos. And when your money's right, guess what? Your marriage is even better. Now, you can either do something with that or not. And I've got 7 scholarships of people that have done it that want to help you. This is another family in our church that says, I'm putting my money where my mouth is. This stuff works. I want to bless you to go take this class. And this is the second week in a row we've offered 7 scholarships and nobody's taking them. You know what Jesus says that is? Foolish. Are we a foolish church? We don't want to be a foolish church. We want to be a wise church that does what God tells us to do. I want to go back to the mirror illustration. He says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. You know, God's word is a mirror. God's word, when you spend time in God's word, it'll tell you things you need to hear. It'll show you things about yourself that maybe you don't see, somebody else does. And when we look in that mirror, sometimes we don't like what we see or hear, do we? When you look in a physical mirror and you don't like your, you know, right now I'm not in one of my best profile postures. I don't like looking in the mirror. I can get dressed without the mirror. But when I'm slimmed up and shaped up and start carrying my stick again, I like to look in the mirror. I'm just wondering if that's true about our walk with the Lord. We don't like looking in the mirror because we don't like what it's going to show, what it's going to reveal. And so we just put it down and kind of forget about it, and nothing ever changes. Yet, if you're like most of the women in our church, when they look intently into the mirror, and they notice their makeup and their hair and their dress or whatever they're wearing, they use it to their advantage, don't they? And they just fix the little, whatever it is, they just fix it. They fix it. They look in that mirror 10 times before they leave the house. They just want to make sure everything's right. And throughout the day, why? Why look in the mirror if you're not going to use it to your advantage? But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be what? Blessed in what they do. James says to simply receive the word and not act on it, you don't receive a blessing. And then Jesus speaks to this in his first sermon. And he compares the one who listens only, and those who act on what they hear. In fact, we sang a worship song this morning about your foundation being on the rock or shifty sand. Here's the parable that he shared. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, if you go back and read the whole sermon, he's just giving you a few things that you should do. If you're going to follow me, here's some things you should do. Here's some things you should quit doing. He goes through that list. Marriage is one of them. And then he cleans it up with this. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came. In other words, pressure came. The streams rose. The winds blew and beat against that house. In other words, it was put to a test. It was put under pressure to reveal how strong it was. Yet, it did not fall because what? It had its foundation on the rock, on God, on his word, on Jesus Christ. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and great was its fall. And so the takeaway from this point that Jesus and James both made is when you act on what you hear, when you put it into action, you're a wise person and good things come. But if you don't act on what you hear, you're a foolish person and nothing ever gets better. And so, G Church, I say let's be wise, not foolish. Let's be doers and not hearers only. Let's don't just come to hear a good message. Let's come with our G Church notebook and a pen and our Bibles, and let's write down two or three things, action steps from each sermon that we can go home then and look at during the week and say, now I've got some action items. I can be a doer and not a hearer only. And I just bet that if you'll practice doing what God tells you to, your life will get better. Can you say amen? So as we land the plane today, I want to ask you a question. What have you heard God speak to you? Not your spouse. What have you heard God speak to you about what you heard today? If you're in a life group, you're going to have some good things to talk about this week. I put some real juicy questions in the guide that'll stir up conversation. But here are a couple of questions that I want to send everybody home with. You might reflect on that this week. Here's some action steps. One question I would ask myself is, do my words and actions line up with my faith? I say I'm a Christian. Do my words line up with how a Christian should speak and talk? The vocabulary. And I'm not saying we're going to be perfect in this. I drop the ball from time to time, and I have to clean up the mess. But all in all, when you look at the big picture, do your words and your actions reveal that you have Jesus Christ active in your life? And if not, I would say, why don't you start there? Why don't you have a conversation with God this week and say, God, I need to work on this. I'm a believer, but my actions don't really show it. And just take baby steps. Just one thing every week for the next 52 weeks will produce marvelous results. Just find one thing you can work on this week and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Here's another question. Do I talk? Am I better at talking than obeying? I would say that's probably true for me, you know. I like to teach. Oh, I'm really good at telling you what we should do. I have to work harder at doing it myself. Is that true for you? We know what to do. It's the doing part where the challenge is. So I'm going to pray for all of us to have courage, that the Holy Spirit will bring us courage and a desire to want to do what's right. We know what to do. but are we doing it? And then, is there something in your life that you know you need to do or change, but you haven't yet, and you know God's been bugging you? Every once in a while, he'll come back around and, you still there? You still thinking about what I said to you? Maybe today's the day with a message right in your face, the mirror right there. You going to walk away and do nothing, or are you going to go, okay, time to put some action steps? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You know, when God was calling me into ministry, I ran for 2 years. I did not want to go into full-time ministry. The devil didn't want me going into full-time ministry. I resisted. I had a desire to minister. I just didn't want to give up what I was comfortable with. I didn't want to give up a lot of my, what I thought at the time, I was having to give up a lot of my freedom and having to go to work for other people for half the money. That doesn't sound good. And so I ran, and I ran, and I ran, and every once in a while, Pastor Rob, he'd come back around, he goes, you've been praying? I lied to him. I said, yeah, I've been praying. You heard anything? No, because I hadn't been praying. I ran. See, when you run from God, you also it's easier to lie. You lie to yourself. One day I was in my office and God said, when are you going to quit lying and running from me? Here's what I think he said. You stand up in front of all those kids every week and tell them to trust their life with me, and you can't even trust me with your money. You big hypocrite. You big phony. I said, yes, Lord, you're right. And in that moment, I decided, no more. I looked in that mirror, and I didn't like what I saw. This is the last day that I'm going to run, and then I'm going to lie. And I remember putting that mirror down and calling Tammy. I said, God really talked to me today. And I'm saying yes to him. And then I called Pastor Rob. I said, I've heard from God today, and I'm saying yes to him. And my life went a totally different direction, but a good direction. Did I face problems? Absolutely I did. But there was not a problem he didn't take me through and make me better on the other side of it. It's always better when we hear and do what he tells us to, even if we don't like it, even if we're scared of it, even if it means we're going to have to give up some of our freedom. It's always better. And you won't know until you do what I just said. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your truth. It will set us free if we let it. Thank you for reminding us that hearing is not enough. We have to be doers. Application. Maybe there's somebody here today that's experiencing difficulties in one of those areas I mentioned, their marriage, finances. Maybe it's a work issue. I pray that they would meet with you this week and say, Lord, what do I do? And that you would show them and that they would actually go do it. Trusting that you're going to take them through it. You're going to get them to where you want them to be. But they're not running and they're not having to lie to cover their trail. Maybe someone's here today or listening online, and you've been running from God and his call on your life to surrender and become a Christian. Because you think, like I did, I'll be giving up some of my freedoms. Oh, no. You'll be giving up some of your bondages that you didn't know you had until you got truly free. When you say no to King Self, and you say yes to King Jesus. Oh, man. I can't describe it. You just have to experience it. But those many here today, you've experienced that. You know what I'm talking about. I am free in ways I never knew I needed to be. But you won't know until you do what Jesus says to do, and that's to trust me. He says, if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that I'm Lord and Savior, and I want to set you free from the bondages of your sinfulness, if you'll say yes to me, if you'll act on that, not just hear it, but do it, you'll be blessed. So if that's you today, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're ready to get free from the problems of your own sins and trust Jesus with the rest of your life, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Come on. Raise it up high. In fact, the more you want it, the higher your hand should be. You can even stand if you want. If you can't stand for Jesus in church, you probably won't stand for him out in that mean world we live in. Thank you, ma'am. There's a leader right there. She doesn't care what anybody thinks except Jesus. Amen. Amen. I see your hand, sir. I see your hand. I see you standing. Can I get the next generation to stand? Come on, girls. Come on. That's what I'm talking about. Your school needs you. Your school needs you to stand and be a light. There's a lot of darkness in schools today that need the light of Jesus. I can't think of a better group than this group right here to be that light. Our workplace needs a light. Our neighborhoods need a light. Our families need a light. Lord Jesus, you see everybody standing. They want to say yes to what you have to offer. I'm just going to lead you in a short prayer. The Bible says, if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, then Jesus knows what it is you desire. Just say this: Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved. I don't want to die and go to hell. When I die, I want to be in heaven with you. And the only way is to say yes to your offer, to your gift grace of salvation. I don't deserve to be saved. But you love me more than you hate my sin. And I want to love you more than I love my sin. Set me free from the penalty of my sins. I'm receiving your gift of eternal life right now in Jesus' name. I believe by faith that my name's being written down in the book of life right now. And that when it's my time to go, I will be on heaven's waiting list. And when I take my last breath here, I'll take my next breath there with you in your presence. And that's really good news for my life today. So thank you, Jesus, for loving me as much as you do. Now, Holy Spirit, would you empower me to love Jesus in that same way and to live the rest of my life for him? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.